Pinkerton football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chardon.
Purdue returns home Saturday, looking to turn its more consistent play into a victory as it welcomes in Illinois. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Deanhart, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik coming up on the Golden Black Radio pregame show. Illinois at Purdue, noon kickoff on Saturday in Ross-Ade Stadium. All right, Tom, you look at this game on Saturday, you look at the one coming up next week against Nebraska, you feel like if Purdue is to get to six victories, these two are must-wins.
Without a doubt. Five games left, Kyle, they have to go 4-1. If you sneak a peek ahead at the schedule, this is one I think it's fair to say Purdue has to win. Of course, Nebraska's at home next. Then you go to Northwestern, then you're off. Go to Wisconsin, IU at home. So, yeah, Purdue's got to win this one. And Illinois got a little mojo coming in off that big upset over Wisconsin. So we know Purdue's going to get their best shot.
Okay, so that Wisconsin-Illinois game, Illini win that game. It a fluke, or do they outright win it?
A fluke, I think. We spoke before we began this, and I'm sure fans have maybe they watched the game or saw the highlights, but, Illinois didn't run one play in the red zone all game. Many occasions, Wisconsin's play calling was dubious. They had some turnovers, some breakdowns defensively as well. So you got to give Illinois some credit, but by and large, I think that was more Wisconsin's own undoing than a great victory for Illinois and its staff.
Yeah, the question from Illinois' perspective then is, does it come to West Lafayette with confidence, or does it come to West Lafayette a little bit still basking in the glow of the cigar smoking in the locker room after that win?
It has to be confident, right? And if I'm Jeff Brohm, I think I like the fact Illinois won because it's got my players' attention. You're not going to overlook the Illini. You can just point to that win last week against Wisconsin. Say, look, guys, you better take this team seriously. They just knocked off the number six team in the land, and they could knock you off as well. So I'm sure, again, that's focused the attention of the Purdue players. And, yes, Kyle, I mean, I got to imagine Illinois is going to have some swagger and some confidence when they roll down I-74 into West Lafayette for this game.
Purdue's played now 11 consecutive quarters pretty well. At some point, we'll start counting these maybe in terms of halves and then in terms of games, and then maybe eventually we'll get to the point where we can count up seasons consecutive that are solid. But right now, we're still counting quarters. Unfortunately for Purdue, only one victory in all those quarters. They need to put together four more solid ones today and then actually come away with the win. We're sort of out of time here with sort of those moral victories, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. We know there's a sense of urgency. They're 2-5 overall. Again, four more wins are needed. The defense, I think, has really made great strides the last, 2.5 games, Kyle. I think I've counted 5 touchdowns allowed the last 10 quarters. I think their MO is pretty simple on Saturday or today. They've got to try to stop that Illinois run and make Brandon Peters beat them. Again, offensively, we've seen some chemistry between Jack Plummer and David Bell emerge. So the offense continues to sort of find its way. But without a doubt, last week, Kyle, the defense is what kept Purdue in that game in Iowa.
Purdue opened a 9-point favorite in this game. What do you think?
Yeah, a pretty robust number for a 2-5 team going against an Illini squad that, like we said, has that big upset. I guess a little surprised, not totally surprised, when you look at the full totality of Illinois' body of work this year. Look at the stats. Just not that glowing on either side of the ball. So, again, -9 is a big number, and again, that may surprise some folks.
There's not a lot of guys yet on the soon-to-return-from-injury list, unfortunately, for Purdue. We did see Anthony Watts last week. Cornell Jones, maybe a possibility for Saturday?
Yeah, I think Jeff said he was 50-50 for Saturday. He's been practicing. Saw him a couple days on Tuesday and Wednesday out there with the squad. Jared Sparks, I don't expect him to play. Mark Stickford, the guard, should play. Jalen Graham had a hip flexor, but he was out there practicing this week. So, yeah, there's not going to be an influx of guys who've been hurt returning this week, particularly number 4, Rondale Moore, or number 9, Lorenzo Neal. But if Purdue can get Watts out there, they get Cornell Jones out there, just defensively, that'll really augment that unit.
What do you think about Moore and Neal? I thought your questions on Monday about Lorenzo were pretty pointed toward Jeff Brohm. I don't know that he necessarily answered what you were asking, but do you think those two guys come back at some point this year?
I think just total guesses here. I think we may see them both. I think Rondale, the hamstring, they want to be cautious with that. Maybe we'll see him after the bye week, the last 2 weeks of the year against Wisconsin and Indiana. I think if I'm Moore, I'd like to get on the field just to test that hamstring out before the end of 2019. And then Lorenzo Neal, again, on Wednesday, Kyle, at practice, he was out there working more than I'd seen him working all season long. He was moving pretty well. He wasn't in pads, just in shorts and a T-shirt, doing some agility drills. I know Brohm hasn't said he's been cleared yet, but he's moving well, and who knows, with that activity, at least I saw, maybe he's a step closer to actually getting on the field.
Tom's conversation with Doug Bouchon of orangeandbluenews.com coming up after a WLFI game day weather update. This is Golden Black Radio.
Thanks, Kyle. For those of you that are heading out to the game, temperatures will be in the mid to upper 40s during the morning hours and for Purdue's warm-up. You'll want the jacket and the rain gear at hand as widespread rain will move into the region during the afternoon hours. Rain will initially move in from the south around the time of kickoff, but heavier rain will be possible by the second half of the game. Winds will also be breezy throughout the afternoon, ranging between 10 to 20 miles per hour. Temperatures at kickoff will be around 50 degrees and remain in the lower 50s throughout the remainder of the game. Daily highs look to top off in the mid-50s.
This is a Horizon Bank commercial for loans. It's a time most advertisers carve out to tell you all about themselves, why you should like them. In short, a chance for them to talk to you. So why aren't we telling you about our loan services? We're waiting for you to tell us about yourself, because what you have to say is more important than what we have to say. Visit horizonbank.com to get a conversation started.
The weather's brought to you by Horizon Bank. Tom's interview with Doug Bouchon coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
Hey, Tom, Dean Hart. Getting ready for Illinois' visit here to West Lafayette to play Purdue and sort of to get us dialed in to the 2019 Fighting Illini. We have Doug Bouchon of orangeandbluenews.com on the line, which is part of the Rivals Network, the site that covers the Fighting Illini. Doug, thank you for joining us, and I guess the best place to start would be that monumental upset of Wisconsin last
life rally. Doesn't we come exactly, with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Completely turns the corner for Lovie Smith. They think we have to start stacking some wins, you know, and get a few more wins before we start talking about turning the program around and all that. But certainly it gets the fans excited. The players are going to have more confidence. And and all of a sudden games, you know, at Purdue and Michigan State and Iowa and the, you know, Northwestern, those games don't look quite as daunting for them the rest of the year.
Hey, talk about the offense. I saw Brandon Peters was back. What are some of the strengths and some of the weaknesses that Illinois will bring offensively into Ross-Ade Stadium?
Well, Lovie Smith likes to say they're a running team, and they are. You know, Reggie Corbin is their best player. He's a good running back, had a big year last year, hasn't been quite as effective this year. I think his health has been a little bit, you know, a little bit of a factor there. He had a hip pointer a few weeks ago and was limited a little bit, but they are a running team. They like to establish a run, get that going. Rod Smith's the offensive coordinator. He runs a spread attack, and they like to spread guys out horizontally and open up some running lanes for Corbin. And then Brandon Peters, the transfer from Michigan, is the quarterback, and he's a guy who's gonna stand in the pocket and make some throws. Now, if you pressure him a little bit, he's a little bit iffy. You know, his decision making if he's under duress is a little bit iffy, but he can make some throws down the field. And Josh Imatorbebe, another transfer, a kid from USC, is really kind of emerging as a go-to receiver for him. A long kid, physical kid, and a red zone weapon for him.
Defensively, that's Lovie Smith's area of expertise. He makes the calls. Sort of break down the Illini defense. What's good and what's a weakness or a potential weakness?
Well, hard to say because after, you know, Wisconsin, it looks like a totally different defense. But, you know, heading into that game, before the game, there were defense that really couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't stop the run. You know, the secondary kind of lacked speed in, you know, in the back seven. But last week, you kind of turned the corner, and they were a physical defense. The linebacker play was really good. DeLay Harding had 16 tackles. He's the middle linebacker. The Will linebacker, Jake Hansen, was the, you know, national player of the year, of the week. You know, he forced two fumbles and leads the country with 7 forced fumbles through the first 7 games. So, you know, hard to say how they're going to play the rest of the season after Wisconsin. Just a totally different game for them. But they're going to hit you, and they're going to try to turn the ball over. And that's kind of been a staple for Lovie Smith's defenses throughout his career. He likes to get takeaways, and they're going to club at the ball, rip at the ball, and try to get the turnovers.
Special teams, how's the kicker? How's the punter? Are there any real threats on the return game? And is Illinois doing a good job covering kicks?
Yeah, you know, they get Bob Lukaszewski, the special teams coach, does a great job. They've been, you know, even when they're not winning, the special teams have been pretty solid. James McCord, of course, had the big kick as the time expired against Wisconsin to win the game. He's a good kicker. And Blake Hayes, the punter, one of the best punters in the Big Ten, really good at directional punting and putting the ball inside the 20, just has a knack for it. And then Dre Brown, you know, I think there was a point this year where he was leading the Big Ten in kick returns. I don't think he is now, but kid who's had some injuries over his career, but he's fast and does a really good job with kick returns, and all their coverage teams do a pretty good job. So, you know, Legashevsky's really been the MVP as far as the coaches go and the staff for a couple of years.
Okay, Doug, it's crunch time. Give me 2 or 3 keys for Illinois to leave Ross-Ade Stadium with a win.
Well, you know, they have to defend the spread, and you know, this is an offense that's given them trouble in the past. You know, and they did a good job against Wisconsin, but that's more of a power running game. But they have to show that they can defend the spread. So I think the secondary's got to have a good game. They got to cover the receivers and slow down the passing game. And then on offense, they need to get back to establishing the run and being a running team. And that's what they do well. They haven't always done well this year. So I think Lovie Smith wants them to be a running team, and they got to get Reggie Corbin going. And then just make some plays with Brandon Peters in the passing game when he has to. You know, third down conversions will be big for him. Move the chains and keep it going. And you know, just continue the momentum that they have from this big win against Wisconsin.
There you have it from Doug Bouchon of Orange and Blue News, part of the Rivals Network covering Illinois. Doug, we appreciate you breaking down Illinois for us.
No problem.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chop salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is the Golden Black Radio pregame show, the most in-depth guide to Saturday's game you'll find. Featuring the staff of Golden Black.
Let's bring in Brian Newberg, get his perspective on the weekend, Purdue hosting Illinois. But more than that, also some news this week about Nick Sipe. GoldenBlack.com reporting that the backup quarterback will retire. Doesn't really affect this season all that much, though it could affect Purdue's plans, particularly in recruiting. Will the Boilermakers do something to try to bolster their quarterback numbers?
Yeah, when you look at the numbers right now, obviously it's a little premature to talk about Elijah Sindelar and what might happen with him next season, because I do think he's going to play again this season. We'll see how this season turns out for him in terms of what that means for him potentially wanting to come back next season. Obviously, Nick Sipe takes another quarterback out of the mix. I think Purdue would always like to have one scholarship quarterback over every class. I know freshman Paul Pifferi probably has a long way to go to get into the playing time conversation. I do think Purdue's numbers right now might merit some sort of action on Purdue's part. They have a commitment from Mike Alamo out in New Jersey, a very highly regarded quarterback. They might look to recruit another one. From whatever market they can find one. Malik Hornsby from Texas, another very highly recruited, highly regarded quarterback, is coming in this weekend as well. So Purdue could conceivably sign two high school quarterbacks in this class. If they don't, I would expect them to look at the graduate transfer market even, potentially maybe just for a guy who can come in for a year and at the very least give you a little bit more established depth. Again, here the next couple weeks, we'll see how things shake out with Elijah Sindelar. But obviously, Nick Sipe retiring from football because of the ongoing injuries takes a body out of that mix at quarterback that they might want to replace one way or another in recruiting.
Purdue's going to be heavy in that graduate transfer market, right? Not only a quarterback, offensive line, maybe defensive line, maybe linebacker. I mean, maybe the only spot that's safe from that possibly is somewhere in the secondary. Everywhere else could be up for grabs, couldn't it?
Well, you probably don't need a graduate transfer wide receiver at this point. I would anticipate Purdue to be very active this year in the graduate transfer market, especially on the offensive line, especially defensive tackle, and especially at linebacker. I also think in the big picture, Purdue would be wise to be in the graduate transfer market every year, just because this is one of those places where it's always been very difficult to have depth. Now, Purdue has obviously transformed in recruiting over the last couple of years. What they've been able to do has represented a very distinct reversal of fortunes relative to where things were a couple of years ago. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy to establish depth. That doesn't mean that you're going to get every player you want at every position. You know, Purdue has transformed at wide receiver, for example. Its offensive skill positions are going to be significantly more talented now than perhaps they've been at any point in the past decade. Now, whether or not Purdue can do the same thing on the offensive line, on the interior of the defensive line, at linebacker, places like that, that's where you might need to plug holes here in the short term. And what you would hate to have happen was you would hate to have so many pieces in place where you could be really good. Mm-hmm. You might have a good quarterback. You might have great wide receivers. You might have great offensive skill players. You might be better defensively. You might have George Karlaftis for a couple more years. You might have really good pieces all over the place, but then have some limitations in other areas of your depth chart that hold you back. It would just be a really wise move, I think, from a directional perspective in recruiting for Purdue to be in that graduate transfer market every year. And when you get a couple guys and they're impactful, you can almost kind of brand yourself as a little bit of a place to go mm-hmm. for graduate transfers. They start to – you see that in basketball all the time. You see programs built simply on transfers. I'm not saying Purdue should be wholesale transfer university, but I'm saying that would be a good market, I think, for Purdue to be in every year. But they're going to be especially active this year.
I'm trying to recall if Purdue has taken a JC player with Jeff Brohm in the three recruiting classes. Is that an area that he would look?
Yeah. They already have, whether anything comes from that or not. They haven't signed a junior college player since that very first class, I think, that they threw together there late in the process. Kai Higgins, Ethan Smart, TJ Jallo,
yeah.
Isaac Zico, Terry Wright, I believe, were the guys they signed. But those were unique circumstances. You were looking for physically mature guys right away to come in and at least give you some depth. And a couple of those guys panned out, a couple guys didn't. But I don't think Purdue wants to be in the junior college market wholesale every year. I think they might pick and choose a little bit, and I think this is a year where they'll do that, especially at linebacker, especially maybe for an interior defensive lineman. But I think the much more likely, the preferred avenue in that sense might be the graduate transfer market.
Purdue and Illinois this weekend on Saturday. I don't think many of us had the Illini coming in off a victory against Wisconsin. What do you see when you look at this game?
I see another game where if Purdue can stop the run and make the opposing offense one-dimensional, you know, Purdue's got a hell of a shot to win. You know, Purdue defensively under Nick Holt has been that, where if they just have to worry about stopping the run and make a, shall I say, mediocre passer beat them, their track record's pretty good. You go back to Boston College last year, you go to Maryland 2 weeks ago, that's the way to win. And I think that that's a something they've been pretty effective with, and I think that's probably the way to beat Illinois. I just like Purdue's chances. I just think the Illinois-Wisconsin game has I don't want to say fluke written all over it, but, you know, funny things happen in college football sometimes, and that was one of those things. I don't think it's any sort of indication of Illinois suddenly turning a corner and now all of a sudden they're going to be really good the rest of the year. I think Purdue is probably the better team, even with its personnel limitations. Having this game at home, I think, probably matters a little bit, and I don't know if Brandon Peters can beat you with his arm, but I've been wrong before on that kind of thing.
Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Alan Karpik, talk a little bit of Big Ten football. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's bring in Alan Karpik, talk a little bit of Big Ten football in Week 9. Three games that we want to take a particularly close look at. Big one over there in Columbus. Number 13, Wisconsin going to number 3, Ohio State. Noon kickoff. Ohio State favored by a little more than a couple of touchdowns. This game would certainly have a little bit different feel had Wisconsin not be upset last week in Champaign.
That was the definition of laying an egg. I mean, you look more and more at that game, and Wisconsin should have beaten Illinois, maybe not handily, but they should have won that game. I think Ohio State is really good, and again, it gets back to great line play. Their offensive and defensive lines are completely dominant and can go toe-to-toe with Wisconsin. I would be surprised if Wisconsin makes that game even a four-quarter game. I just think Ohio State is the class of this league, and I think they'll win relatively handily at that noon start against the Badgers.
First of several tests here over the last several weeks of the season for Ohio State. You know, Michigan, Penn State out there as well. Did the Buckeyes make it through?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's pitfalls everywhere. You always wonder about that last game against Michigan when people are giving Michigan no chance. That's always a dangerous thing. But I just haven't seen any signs of them falling apart. Barring an injury at quarterback, I think Ohio State will go undefeated.
Number 6, Penn State playing at Michigan State, 3:30 kick. Penn State favored by almost a touchdown. This game to me has that sort of feel, though, of Penn State over the last couple of years, where it's lost one of the games that you didn't expect it to lose to a quality team, but lost one of these games sort of before it took on one of the big boys.
And Michigan State is had Penn State's number, especially at home over the years. And I think, too, that Michigan State has been kind of beaten up here the last 3 weeks, have not played well, had the offensive obviously struggled in the loss to Wisconsin. It will be but they have that bye week. And I agree with you, Mark D'Antonio's team isn't as bad as it looks right now. And I think that that will be a very, very interesting game. I think that Michigan State's got a real chance to pull what would be a mild upset.
Like the rest of us, Mark D'Antonio is getting older. Is he running out of runway there at Michigan State?
I think Michigan State has a limited runway, especially where you sit in the marketplace. You know, you got three other power schools in your division, and that's going to weigh on you over time, and there are going to be some ups and downs. I think he's an excellent football coach, and like Kirk Ferentz, in some ways that you get tired of them being so-so, and they want him to get to the next level. He's been to the next level. He's been to the college football playoff, but yeah, I think that's a fair question over the last year or so that it's not been as good as the Spartans would like it to be.
Indiana at Nebraska, 3:30 on Saturday. Nebraska is actually a 2.5-point favorite in this one. It was a little bit shocking on Sunday when the line opened with IU as a 2-point favorite. But, man, even the fact that this is as close as it is anticipated on Saturday tells you a little bit about both these teams.
Indiana has been really good on the offensive line and certainly good enough defensively that I think this should be a very interesting game. But is Indiana ready to go into a stadium like Nebraska? I know Nebraska is still not where it wants to be, and when I have my doubts, it would be huge for Indiana. I think Indiana's going to go to a bowl whether it wins this game or not, but it would be a huge win for Indiana. Nebraska still has got some growing pains under Scott Frost and not ready maybe for prime time just yet. But as crazy as it sounds, they have a path to the Big Ten West Championship. I don't think they get there, but they've got teams coming to their venue that they can, if they beat them, if they can start a win streak, which would include a win over Purdue next week, it's possible. I don't think that's going to happen, but it is possible.
All right, thanks, Al. That's a look at the Big Ten in Week 9.
Let's go back in time. With a historical look, here's Alan Karpik.
All right, Al, let's take a historical look at Purdue and Illinois. This series is tied, thanks to Purdue having won the last three. The winner now has a series advantage.
Right, and that's a rarity for Purdue. I mean, Purdue only has series advantages over Northwestern, Indiana, and Iowa, and so this is a big deal. They used to have one over Minnesota. That's changed of late. So, yeah, this is a big game. It's obviously a big game for a number of reasons from a historical perspective. This is kind of Illinois. It used to be historically Illinois' rivalry game more than it was Purdue's. They play for the cannon. Purdue has a decided advantage in that series as well. That's been played since 1943, so doesn't get any bigger than the cannon in Ross-Ade Stadium.
If you say so. Purdue has beaten Illinois here recently, including the three in a row. Even below average Purdue teams have gone over to Illinois and won here, and often that's because Illinois has been fairly below average recently.
Well, you don't want to be the trivia question, Daryl Hazel's last win at Illinois. So, it has been that type of series, and last year's 46-7 win was surprisingly easy for Purdue. That's been good. Purdue's had some crazy things happen against Illinois over the years, but of late, the Boilermakers clearly dominate.
Yeah, Hazel's last win in like two of the five victories total against FBS teams or some bad stat like that.
10 wins, right?
Okay, so Purdue and Illinois played 25 years ago. The Boilermakers beat a ranked Illini team in Champaign. We all thought right then that was a turning point for Coletto and company. It was not.
And let me correct myself. Daryl Hazel did beat Nebraska also in addition to his two wins over Illinois. I don't want to shortchange that. But, that game 25 years ago, Purdue makes a goal line stand. Mike Allstott and company get a win over a ranked foe on the road. Purdue, I think, started that season out 4-1, end up 4-5-2. I know the record. Kyle and I have talked about this. The record says 5-4-2 because Michigan State was, but it still bothers me to this day. Purdue was 4-5-2 and did not make a bowl, and Jim Coletto was out as coach 2 years later. Never really was able to turn the program around even after that big win at Illinois.
In that Nebraska game, Purdue beat a backup quarterback. It had not done so again until Ty Pigram. Do you know the quarterback?
Yeah, but it's not Tanner Lee, and he threw like he was like a walk on. He threw four picks, helped me.
Really bad. Riker five.
But he threw for 415 yards. That game was crazy. I mean, it was like Purdue was still, scored what was the final? It was in the 50s somewhere. Yeah. It was a nutty win for Purdue, and I don't think you'll see that when Purdue plays Nebraska. Based on the two coaches that are going to be going at each other here next week.
Yeah, and that game did not turn around the Daryl Hazel era either. All right, thanks, Al. That's a historical look at Purdue and Illinois. We'll be back with more here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
All right, Tom, let's break down Purdue and Illinois. The Illini defense, sort of a mixed bag with what the Illini is able to do. It's number two in the Big Ten in turnovers. It's, you know, turnover margin at, plus seven. It doesn't stop the run, really. Ranks near last in the Big Ten in rush defense, yet it did okay against Wisconsin and Jonathan Taylor last week, holding the Badgers to just 3.6 yards per carry. Purdue will do some different things, obviously, than what Wisconsin did. It's going to spread the ball out a little bit, try to sling it around against that Tampa 2 defense. What do you expect Purdue will be able to get done against the Illini?
Yeah, that's a good point. Totally different assignment for Illinois' defense this week. Of course, Wisconsin's always physical, going to play in the box and try to pound you, set up play-action passes. You can play Wisconsin in the phone booth. Purdue, here comes Purdue. They're going to spread you out and make you defend the whole field horizontally and vertically as well. So, you know, it's going to be, like I said, a different challenge for that Illinois defense. And they have a couple good linebackers. Jake Hansen and Dealey Harding make a lot of tackles. And Illinois did a good job last week of keeping those guys clean and letting them run the ball and stuff Jonathan Taylor. But like I said, they're going to play in space this week. And we'll see how well those guys do against Purdue's skill.
Illinois did a lot of its damage on big plays last week in the victory against Wisconsin. I think their touchdowns were 70-something, 40-something, and 20-something yards. Didn't do much to sustain drives. Do you think that's the key for Purdue's defense on Saturday? Just, you know, don't give up the big play. Make Brandon Peterson company, you know, put together consecutive positive plays, because it seems like maybe that's a unit that can't do that very well.
Exactly right. You know, that's been one thing that stood out to me in recent weeks about the Purdue defense. They really haven't given up a lot of big plays. They want to make you earn it, and they're going to do that same, or want to have that same MO Saturday, obviously. Keep things in front of them, but still attack. I think it's pretty simple for Nick Holt's unit, really. You got to stop the run. You got to slow down the Illinois ground attack, Reggie Corbin and company. They want to run it, and then you got to put the game into Brandon Peters' hands. Make Brandon Peters throw the ball to beat you. I don't think he can do that. And, again, if you give Nick Holt that one assignment of trying to take away somebody's ground game against an Illinois offensive line, I'm told it's been a little bit of a disappointment. I think Holt can dial that up, get Illinois in some third and longs, and get after Brandon Peters. Because, Kyle, if you look at the stats, no team in the Big Ten has allowed more sacks than Illinois.
Peters is interesting because it's like every game he gets off to a slow start. Everybody online starts calling for him to be benched. Then he makes like one play, and then Illinois gets back into the game. But, I mean, he's just been okay, right? I mean, part of that has been that the defenses have been able to get after him. So,
yeah, I think the line hasn't helped him either. Of course, Brandon Peters, Avon, Indiana, a guy Purdue recruited coming out of high school, came from Michigan, was a highly touted kid, I think a four-star recruit. And, yeah, it really hasn't gone, I think, as smoothly as Peters could have envisioned. I just don't know if he's a fit for what they want to do there offensively, Kyle. Rod Smith, the OC, there's more of a, you know, he's an RPO guy. They want to run a lot of RPO. He usually likes athletic quarterbacks. They recruited a kid from St. Louis, a quarterback who can run that, but he's not ready yet. So, again, seemed to be a round peg in a square hole as far as Peters and a fit there. But they're making it work with Brandon. But, again, not the most mobile guy, not a guy who can do a lot of things that O.C. Rod Smith likes to do offensively.
Purdue might have recruited him a little bit late after that staff finally figured out who he was. The Boilermakers and the Illini, who you got on Saturday?
I think Purdue's going to win. I had 35-24, Kyle. I think the sense of urgency we've talked about is there for Purdue. I know Illinois has it as well, but Purdue's at home. They need to win, like we said, four of these last five, and this is a team they've had their thumb on in recent years. And I think, again, the Boilermakers get it done defensively, get some turnovers, get after Brandon Peters, and I think Illinois struggles to defend Purdue and that spread-you-out attack where they're going to throw the ball over the field.
Yeah, I've got a similar score. I think I went with, 34-27, somewhere around there. Boilermakers get the victory. I just think that Purdue won't give up the big play defensively like Wisconsin did last week. And, you know, I think the Illini coming off that victory, man, if I was Lovie Smith, I would have done everything possible to get that team's attention again on Sunday, because they were sky high after beating Wisconsin. And I tried to get them refocused. I don't know if the Illini can do it. They haven't been in this situation before, coming off a win like that in a long, long time. I think Purdue takes advantage of that early.
How do you handle success in life, no matter what you're doing? How do you handle success? And then you laid it right out there, Kyle. How is Illinois going to handle success? Can they come back down to earth? Can they get refocused as they go on the road now to play a Purdue team? You wonder how seriously maybe Illinois takes Purdue, Kyle. Maybe Illinois thinks, hey, we can roll these guys. Purdue's only 2-5. So, again, that's going to be Lovie Smith's task, and we'll find out soon.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, that'll do it for our show. Again, we'll have a recap of the game 10 o'clock on Monday as Golden Black Radio's podcast drops. All right, thanks to our sponsors, Horizon Bank, 6th Street Dive, Follett's, Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill, First Source Bank, and Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus. For Tom Dienhardt, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.